Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to gore, animal cruelty, human suffering, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
Well, heck, I'd give up an arm or a leg to cure my diabetes. I'm Adam.
Vehicular manslaughter? Well, you're just a candy bar away. I'm Andy.
Honey, the only thing sweeter than you is your urine. I'm Kelly.
How did I get on the floor? And why does my face hurt so bad?
I'm Sean, and this is Acid Pop.
Welcome back, everyone. Today we're talking about a subject that's near and dear to my heart, diabetes.
Pancreas.
Yep, that's the one. So, diabetes etymology comes from the Greek dia, meaning through, and banen, meaning to go. So, to go through.
Go straight through him.
Yep, because back in the old days, when you had diabetes, you peed a lot. So, it literally means to pee all the time. Luckily for me, there are no phobias of diabetes or diabetics.
Diabetic! What is that, insulin?
So a little
what
bit
about philias?
I don't know.
Midna and I are both very fond of the smell of insulin.
Oh, we'll get to that.
You're a diabetic? Is your blood sugar low? I'll give you a little sugar.
You can't regulate your own blood sugar?
Oh. Honey, no, please. I need some candy.
I'll give you some candy.
No, please. This is very serious.
After I'm done with you, you're going to be in a diabetic coma.
Yes. Yes, I will. So a little bit of science here. There are two types of diabetes, type 1 and type 2. With type 1 diabetes, what happens is your immune system turns on your pancreas.
Oh, why?
So it destroys the part that makes insulin. Without insulin, your body can't process sugar, and sugar is what fuels every chemical process in your body. So you just break down and die. Type 1 diabetics cannot survive without an external source of insulin. And type 2 diabetes, this is where your body either stops accepting the insulin that you produce or doesn't produce enough insulin. Type 2 diabetes, in some cases, can be helped by eating less carbohydrates, so your body just has to process less sugar, or you can take certain medications that will either make your body produce more insulin or let your body process insulin more effectively.
And just so we establish this at the top, you are a type 1 diabetic.
It's true. I am type 1 diabetic.
The type 2 do not need insulin.
Well, sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. There's sort of a type 2 diabetes is sort of a spectrum from very mild to severe. And the severe is pretty much like being a type 1 diabetic. But if you're a type 1 diabetic, that's it. You're a type 1 diabetic. You take insulin or you die.
Oh, my poor Sean.
Well, I'm doing good so far.
Constantly shooting up in the bathroom.
So without insulin, the glucose in your blood can't be observed, and high glucose levels cause kidney disease or failure, strokes, heart attack, blindness, and neuropathy. This is bad over time, and then low blood sugars can cause fatigue, weakness, confusion, and in severe cases, coma and death.
The first one is how King Candy died.
All right, so that's just a little bit of background about diabetes, but not too much, because we're going to go into our acid pop quiz. True or false? About 20% of diabetics are type 1.
I'm going to say false. I think it's lower than that.
Yeah, I think type 1 is rarer. I'm going to go with false.
I mean, if it was so rare, they wouldn't have put it first. I'm going to say true.
Well, it is in fact false, and Kelly got it right. Only between 5 and 10% of diabetics are type 1.
I mean, I'm always seeing articles on, like, what to do about diabetes or new treatments for diabetes. And they're always directed at type 2 diabetics. Yeah. So I figure there must be a lot more of them.
Well, that there's just nothing you can do about type 1.
And it's always the same thing. Like, I work at a grocery store and I see the the magazine is always like, what to do about your diabetes? And I'm like, well, isn't that a pancreas disease?
Get a new pancreas.
Hooray!
It's just that easy.
Get a new immune system.
Would that work to cure diabetes as a pancreas transplant, or the immune system just destroy the new one?
Well, it is possible with a transplant, but like all transplanted organs, you have to take immune suppressants, not to just save the pancreas from the same thing that happened to the first one, but to just stop your body from attacking it entirely. So, yes, that is possible. So, true or false? It's possible to have diabetes and not know.
True.
True.
True. I mean, certainly type 2.
Yep. It is estimated that up to 1/3 of people with type 2 diabetes don't know they have it. So, short answer, when was the first record of diabetes?
I imagine it's pretty old.
It goes pretty far back because
Sean already said the Greeks named it.
Well, but Pliny the Elder talks about diabetes.
That's not surprising.
It's true.
Now, can you tell us when Pliny lived?
Well, 50 years ago? 60?
So around that time.
I'm going to say at least like Egyptian times.
Yeah, I'm going 1500 BCE.
Okay. You got a year, Adam?
I don't. I don't know when Egyptians lived.
All right. Kelly?
I'm going to go with 10,000 BCE.
10,000?
Is that too far? I mean, the first calendar was 70,000 BCE, we learned.
In that movie, 10,000 BC was cavemen.
Right? They had calendars. They knew about diabetes. That's my decision.
Well, interestingly enough, we have two winners with two different answers. So it was in Egypt, and it was 1500 BCE.
Yay!
Yeah!
So good guessing, team. These people were noted as having too great emptying of urine, and that's T-O-O. So, peeing too much.
Well, and this is back in the day when they used to be like, do you have diabetes? Ah, your urine is sweet.
Well, we'll get to that. So, when was the first insulin treatment used?
I still think it might be the Greeks, but no, insulin has to be refined.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a lot more recent.
Is it?
I don't know.
You're the worst pop quiz teacher.
Am I?
I'm going to go with 1842.
Okay.
I was thinking 1800s as well. I'm going to say 1830 in May.
I mean, they got it from pigs. I thought they got it from pigs or dogs. I guess I could be wrong about that.
That was Sean's version of a wrong answer buzzer in humming.
You're wanting.
I mean, they had vaccines like in the Middle Ages. I mean, they were gruesome, but they did have them.
Well, I'll give this away early. There's no vaccine for diabetes.
I'm thinking about medical advancements.
Spoilers.
Man, that guy in the alley tricked me.
We had a surprise for you next time we saw you.
Go earlier. I'm going to say 1795.
Okay. Andy's the closest without going over, but it was actually 1922.
Whew.
Damn.
Yeah. So about 3,500 years of knowing what diabetes was and not being able to do anything about it.
Well, medical science.
This is a little unusual for us, but this is kind of an uplifting story. So in 1921, Frederick Banting and Charles Best found that if dogs who'd had their pancreas removed were given injections from the pancreas of a healthy dog, the previously observed symptoms of diabetes went away. So Banting and Best and her colleagues purified bovine hormones and injected them into the first diabetic human patient in 1922. Ever. So the patient showed immediate improvement. And by 1923, Banting and Best won the Nobel Prize in Medicine.
Best living up to his name.
Yeah. They shared the prize money with all the other scientists that helped them along the way, and they made their patent public so that people could use it throughout the world.
You gigantic heroes.
Yeah. Before the creation of synthetic human insulin, they basically got insulin from pancreas of various animals. So how many pounds of animal pancreas did it take to make 1 pound of insulin?
Oh, no.
50 pounds.
Okay.
Nah. A pound of insulin, though?
1 pound, yep.
That's a lot of insulin.
8 fluid ounces. I don't know how much a pound of insulin is.
Let's go with...
What did you say?
50.
50? I'm saying 10.
10?
25!
The correct answer is 8,000 pounds.
Whoa!
What the hell?
Yeah, I was closest. And I didn't go over.
So that's 3,628 kilograms. And this was processed from roughly 23,500 animals.
Can't I just juice a pancreas?
You don't get much out, unfortunately.
Huh. Apparently we had a surplus of animals at the time.
Yeah, it was a problem. Time to define some terms. What is Moodhamea?
That is Enya's Kamehameha.
Sorry, say it one more time.
Madhamea, not mood.
Madhamea.
Oh, damn it.
Sorry, Sean ruined your joke.
Well, that's Dr. Forrester's Kamehameha.
I really have no idea. I can't think of any root words there.
I'm going to say it's when someone with low blood sugar gets aggressive.
Mm, okay.
Mad.
It doesn't have the word mad in it.
That is the Hawaiian word for diabetic.
Oh, you got madamia.
Well, you're on the right track there, Adam. The reason you couldn't identify any roots is because it's the Indian word for diabetes.
Wow, I was getting close.
Yep. So it was discovered at roughly the same time as the Egyptians, but the Indian word means honey urine.
Yeah.
Because people noticed that it attracted ants. Similarly, the Chinese word was tang niao bin, meaning sugar urine disease.
Oh, God, it's the origin of tang.
The astronauts have been drinking pee. Tell them.
We have to warn the astronauts.
You know they're drinking pee.
That makes them more heroic.
What is dawn phenomenon?
I will let you two answer first.
You already know this one?
I do live with a diabetic.
Really?
Cheater.
The dawn phenomenon is when you put an orange into your teeth to make it look like you're a monster and you die in the tomato fields. Godfather reference.
Say that was too deep for me.
The dawn phenomenon is when you wake up a diabetic.
Ooh.
And go to bed a diabetic, and the next day you wake up and you're still a diabetic.
And you weren't a diabetic, and you wake up as one.
No, my feet are swollen.
That is when your blood sugar spikes in the morning.
Yes. Some people, just before you get up in the morning and your body sort of has a sense of your circadian rhythms, it releases a bunch of hormones. And to process those hormones, your body has to release a bunch of sugar to get the ball rolling. So dawn phenomenon is when your blood sugar spikes first thing in the morning, which I have this not super severely, but pretty bad.
What percentage of diabetics have dawn phenomenon problems?
You know, here's the thing about me. I'm really good at 1 in 10 chances. So 1 in 10 people are left-handed. About 1 in 10 people are diabetic. About 1 in 10 diabetics are type 1. And about 1 in 10 type 1 diabetics have dawn syndrome.
We have to hit the tables.
Yeah. If you can find me 1 in 10 odds, I'll hit it every time. So what is neuropathy?
God damn it. You said it earlier. I know this.
I didn't define it deliberately.
That's when you pass out from low blood sugar.
Okay.
Let's break it down. Neuro meaning brain. Pathy meaning I don't know.
Walkway.
I'm going to say that's when your brain slows down because of diabetes. Like the if you're having a diabetic episode, your neurons shoot
brain
less frequently.
No work.
That is when your nerves die, which is what causes amputations in diabetics.
Yep,
Pathy,
that is true. So yes, if you have high blood sugars for too long as a diabetic, one of the first things that starts to go is your nerves. And it sort of starts at the outside in, so your fingers and toes, and then your hands and feet, and then your legs and arms. And it's basically, it starts out as sort of like pins and needles and kind of a numbness. But then it moves on to sharp jabbing pains and finally ends up with like freezing or burning sensations.
Ew.
And since your nerves are dying, you can end up with wounds on your feet and not know about it, and they'll get infected and turn gangrenous, and that is what inevitably leads you to amputation in very severe cases.
I did not know that. See, I always thought that diabetes kind of just took your limbs.
Nope. It's sort of like, what is it?
Leprosy.
Some sort of cat. Yeah, there you go. Leprosy.
Some sort of cat.
Leper, assy.
I can see where your brain was going.
Panthology.
You ever had leopard assy?
And that's the end of our depressing quiz of things that I have to deal with.
Oh, no.
Would everyone like to tell Sean how much they love him?
We love you, Sean.
I'm partial
to you.
Buddy.
I don't love your pancreas.
Yeah, me either. Worthless layabout. So, for our stories, I'm just going to go through a little bit of history of diabetes here. So, as I mentioned, first discovered in 1500 BCE, and there are similar descriptions from other cultures around the same time. They all couldn't really identify what the problem was, though. So people would start to pee a lot, and then they would waste away, and then they would die. The end.
Oh, no.
In 150 CE, Greek physician Aradius discovered the disorder, he described the disorder as the melting down of flesh and limbs into urine.
He was also very good at the circumference of a circle.
So basically, you pee yourself to death. He said that the life of these people was short, disgusting, and painful.
Disgusting?
They disgust me.
Well, you pee all day.
Why don't you get a job instead of just peeing all day?
Yeah. Most of the stuff from history about diabetes is urine-based. So early diagnosis from this came from tasting the urine of patients.
Yep.
So these people were called water tasters.
But everyone knows what they were really doing.
That's much more pleasant than pee drinkers.
I know this, one from a book that Kelly recommended to me, and two because a story I'm going to tell later.
I thought we'd never talk about that.
Can you taste my pee?
Does this taste sweet to you?
So for about 3,000 years, there wasn't really anything that could be done. And nothing that they tried seemed to work. One of the earliest successful things was in 1797, Scottish military doctor John Rollo found that people with diabetes did better on an all-meat diet. Hmm. That was sort of a step forward.
Hey, that's when I guessed the cure was.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to give them chocolate with caramel in the middle. Well,
then everybody started getting gout.
Well, around roughly the same time, French physician Pierre Priori theorized that the sugar lost through urine needed to be replaced. So he recommended a diet high in sugar. This was something of a step backwards, and several people died.
Just several?
Yeah.
A couple.
He didn't get very far.
How about Marshall? Yeah.
In 1889, Joseph von Merling and Oscar Minkowski removed the pancreas of dogs and observed similar symptoms to diabetes. So this nailed down the pancreas as the cause of the problem. There was a sort of successful regimen that was established in 1910, and it was the Allen starvation treatment.
I like where this is going.
Starve Allen.
In this treatment, patients were restricted to 1,000 calories a day and very few carbohydrates. This was pioneered by Frederick Madison Allen, and the treatment started with patients being given nothing but a mixture of black coffee and whiskey every 2 hours, 12 hours a day, until their urine started to taste better.
Get the water drinkers in here.
So the discovery by Banting and Best in 1922 jumped things forward a bit. And in 1936, Harold Percival Hemsworth correctly identified that there were two types of diabetes. But really, the insulin treatments in 1923 were a big help. So if you had a child before 1923 and they were diagnosed with diabetes, they were estimated to have a lifespan of about 1.3 years from there.
Ooh.
After 1923, it went up to 35 years.
That is a bit of a step up.
So that's just a little bit of background on how we got to where we are today with diabetes. So now we're going to tell some horrible stories about things that have happened to or around diabetics.
If Finally.
Most of these stories have to do with hypoglycemia, which, you know, hypo is not enough. Glycemia is glucose, so not enough sugar in your blood. When your blood sugar drops and you're a diabetic, it can vary from diabetic to diabetic, but mostly you get really weak and really shaky, and then you start to get really confused, and you can make some very poor decisions in this state of mind.
It's like being hungover, then.
I was going to say, I've had all of these symptoms before, too.
But much, much worse. So September 2013, Ottawa, Canada. Dave Woodward, a type 2 diabetic, had recently been put on a drug called metformin to help with his insulin levels.
Redformin.
On the morning of September 22nd, he decided he wasn't going to take it because he didn't feel like it was having any effect.
It's just a placebo. It's nothing but sugar water.
He then left for his job as a bus driver.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Shortly thereafter, he suffered a hypoglycemia incident and crashed into a train.
A train?
Yep, a train.
This is the worst possible crash.
Well, wait, was it a parked train?
I think it was a parked train, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Either way, well, trains are much bigger than buses.
Sure. Everyone knows that.
So he sheared off the front of the bus, and Mr. Woodward and five others were killed, and 30 more were injured in the crash.
Mm.
And apparently, type 2 diabetes is a very common problem amongst bus drivers because they have a very sedentary life, and they just sit, and that's one of the things that's bad for diabetes is being very, very sedentary.
Oh, no.
Why is that?
Tell us both, because nobody here has to worry about that.
Well, I don't know. It's hard to say. There's just a few things that sort of like, if you do these things, they increase your odds of having type 2 diabetes. One of those things is being very sedentary. Another, which is basically saying the same thing, is a lack of exercise. And another is being overweight. So, yep, these things happen. So October 2010 in Las Vegas, Nevada, Adam Green,
oh, no.
Yeah, close to home on this one. Adam Green was pulled over for driving erratically. He was not responding to officers, so they forcefully opened the door and demanded he step out of the vehicle. When Mr. Green continued to not respond, six officers dragged him out of the vehicle, forced him onto the ground, kicked him in the face, and knelt on his back to force his hands into handcuffs, breaking one of his ribs in the process. Yep, six officers. While one of the officers called in the successful apprehension of the suspect, another searched the vehicle looking for drugs because they assumed he was on drugs. They did find drugs, but not the ones they were looking for. So when they realized, after they found insulin in his car, that he was diabetic, they immediately called for medical support to come out and treat him for being in diabetic shock, basically.
That's nice of them instead of shooting him, I guess.
Yeah, that's
Cops
something.
Always responding proportionately.
Luckily for Mr. Green, he was released without citation, and the officers apologized for beating him up.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Green subsequently sued the police force and received nearly $300,000 for his troubles.
Ooh. I cannot tell you how close to home this hits because my family is awful. No, seriously, like, just speaking from my family's perspective, of course that guy's on drugs. They're going to beat him up.
Yeah.
And you should beat up a guy on drugs. My family is all police, pretty much every single person.
Well, if you're curious, there is video of this incident because the police car had a dash cam on. And so there's recording of all the people. And I mean, I don't know. I get it. You're a cop. You see somebody wigging out. You don't know if they're wigging out because they're drunk or they're having some sort of medical issue or because they have five bodies chopped up in the trunk and a shotgun across their lap. You really can't tell. And
I'm tempted to say it's better to be cautious.
It is better to be cautious.
Obviously, kicking in the face. Kicking in the face is not being cautious.
After you drag out it.
Yeah, and like six people is kind of a lot. I don't even know why there were six people there, to be honest, because there's only one cop car.
Slow day.
I can tell you a story of how my sister took on a guy on PCP and tased him and he kept charging.
Yeah.
But that doesn't excuse kicking a guy who's already passed out in the face.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't passed out. He was struggling, but yeah. When you've got six people standing on top of one person, that's probably enough.
Not to mention that
when you have, you're hypoglycemic, you don't struggle very hard.
No.
You're pretty much a limp noodle.
Yeah. So our last story here isn't so much about diabetes itself, but the anecdote about the horrible state of the American healthcare system. Our last story is about insulin rationing.
Excuse me?
Insulin rationing. Due to the obscene cost of insulin in America, some people have resorted to rationing the use of their diabetic supplies, including insulin. The first thing that tends to go is test strips, which is what you use to know what your blood sugar levels are. And in extreme cases, some people take a fraction of the insulin that they need to try and stretch out the supply that they have. So in late 2016, Shane Boyle moved from his home in Austin, Texas to Mena, Arkansas to look after his ailing mother. When he left the state, he lost his insurance and he was unemployed. Mr. Boyle applied for the Affordable Care Act in January of 2017, but his application was pending for several months. In March, Mr. Boyle's mother passed away, and while trying to deal with everything going on, he started a GoFundMe campaign. And this is from his campaign. The amount I am asking for is to cover seeing a doctor, getting a prescription, purchasing a month's worth of Lantus and Novolog, and other diabetic supplies. I am working on the theory that if I can get through the month of March, this will give me time to figure out a long-term solution. Any amount will be appreciated. He was aiming to raise $750. He had been rationing his insulin to try and get by, and after his campaign failed to reach its goal, he was found dead a couple of weeks later.
Oh, damn.
Oh, no.
Yep. And this is not the only instance of situations like this. This is just one story that I thought encapsulated the dire state of these things pretty well. And just for the record, I have done this in the past. So
I don't think people understand how much insulin costs,
yeah,
or how necessary it is. Sean went out without test strips for years. It's like that story almost, I almost cried because it felt way too close to home. We were lucky that we always had family around us who would have saved us if we needed it. But yeah, it's bad.
I'm right there.
So, yep, this moves us on to personal stories. So, does anybody besides me have personal stories about diabetes?
Nope.
I do. My stepfather-in-law is his diabetes is wild.
Oh, yeah?
He can test his blood 1 minute and it can be 300-something.
Yeah.
And then he could test his blood 10 minutes later and it can be 40.
Yeah.
I'm exaggerating, of course, but they just had to drive down to Mexico to get insulin because they're on a fixed income.
Yeah.
And the weird thing, like, okay, so this is getting pretty personal, but like he has a bunch of kids from a bunch of different places and all of his kids don't believe him because of the previous mothers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So all the kids are like, why are you always falling asleep? Why do you need to take these trips to go to Mexico or anything? Like, why can't you spend time with us? And he's like, because I have to get this insulin.
Yeah.
And I've been with him, and he seems to have weird drops. If you go into a hardware store, his blood sugar drops to practically nothing.
Yeah. The smell of wood sets him off.
I don't know.
All the varnish.
I don't know what it is, but he'll test his blood in a hardware store, and it's dangerously low. And we're like, okay, then let's go. And he's 6'5", like 200, like 300 something pounds.
Yeah.
So we can't drag him out of there. He's like, no, I want to be here. I love all this.
I love comas. And,
like, they actually had to move out of a two-story house because his blood sugar fluctuates so wildly.
Yeah.
Sean, are you comfortable with me telling stories about your hypoglycemic episodes?
Yeah. Okay. You're going to have to because I don't remember them.
Yeah. Sean doesn't remember these, so I'm the only one who can tell them. So for a while, when we first moved to Seattle, I don't remember if his endocrinologist put him on a new long-term insulin. It was a new one. And this is for that Down syndrome that he mentioned. It's to keep his blood sugars steady over time because he tends to spike in the morning.
So, with a long-term insulin, do you have to take it once throughout the day or?
Yeah, once or twice, depending on the type.
Okay.
Anyway, they had the dosage a little off. So it was causing his blood sugar to drop rapidly and unexpectedly at sort of random times, usually like in the late afternoon.
Yeah, it was pretty much always in the late afternoon.
And this happened three times, once in IKEA when we were shopping for furniture with my mother. And it was actually my mom who noticed that something was wrong, because Sean gets goofy when his blood sugar goes too low and a little inarticulate, but he can be goofy sometimes with me. So I thought he was just being silly because we'd been in IKEA for hours and he was bored. But he doesn't get goofy with my mom. So my mom was like, no, there's something wrong. He's acting weird.
He's being funny.
So we had to sit him down and get him some juice. And while we were doing that, we were also trying to get the address out of him to have the furniture delivered, because he was the only one who knew where we lived.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, from what I've been told, they were basically like at the cash register and be like, okay, Sean, you have to tell him the address. And I'd be like, okay. And I'd just wander away.
Oh, no. But the really scary one happened when we were home and he was in the kitchen and suddenly he just wiped everything off the counter. Like, there was just the sound of things falling. And I looked over at him and he was just sort of looking mildly confused at his feet. And I came over and I was like, are you okay? And he started talking about something completely unrelated and then tried to kiss me. I was like, no, we need to talk right now. I'm like, is your blood sugar low? And the thing about diabetics is when their blood sugar's low, they are convinced they're fine.
You sound drunk, Sean.
No, I'm fine. I'm like, no, you're not fine. And then he started to fall down. I got him over to the wall and sat him down. We had Christmas candy. And so I was like, I need you to eat this. And he was like, nope, I'm good. Don't need it. And I was like, no, you need to eat this. I have to go get you juice, because juice is the quickest way to get blood sugar into their system. So, and we lived right next to a gas station. So I sat him down. I gave him this candy. I'm like, you are going to eat this candy. I will be right back. I had to leave him there, run next door. I come back with a thing of orange juice, and he looks up at me and says, what am I doing on the floor? Which I can only imagine how scary that was for him to just suddenly become conscious sitting on the floor with his mouth full of candy. But
not very, I'll say.
On the floor with my mouth full of candy.
I was in the kitchen and I was cooking away, and then I was sitting on the living room floor. And I was like, how did I get here? That's weird.
I would be see, Sean has a passive view of his. If I did that, I would be terrified. Like, from kitchen to floor, I'd be like, oh, shit.
I don't know. No sense stressing about these things, I guess.
You turd.
I don't know. I can honestly say, like, for the people involved, it's very scary to have to deal with me. But for me, I just, like, there's just a gap in time. And so I'm just like, huh, I wonder what happened then. Oh, well. So it's honestly not very scary for me, because I missed the whole thing. So
I figure I'm lucky, because some diabetics are known to get really aggressive during hypoglycemic episodes. But Sean just gets sort of giggly and hard to communicate with.
The stepfather-in-law has had episodes where he wakes up and then is convinced that people are outside trying to get them.
Oh,
weird.
Like, it's not like he's aggressive towards other people. He's aggressive towards non-existent people outside the house.
Anyway, after that, he got his prescription adjusted, and he hasn't had a scary incident since, thank God.
So, yeah, I have a lot of personal stories about diabetes. For me, it wasn't really much of a surprise when I didn't start out as a diabetic. I found out I was a diabetic when I was 17 or 18, I think.
18. It was like senior year of high school, I think.
Yeah. I basically found out because I was peeing all the time. And I don't mean like you, Andy, drinking a lot of water, peeing all the time. Like literally every 10 minutes I was peeing, and I couldn't drink enough. And at that time, when I was thirsty, I would drink Sprite. So that was only making the problem worse.
I would like to point out, at one point, I entered Sean's room and his carpet was Sprite.
Yeah, pretty
not
much.
The liquid, the cans.
I just swam in a sea of Sprite.
Now, crunch, 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 crunch.
I found out around then, and my clearest memory of diabetes was my grandma was a type 2 diabetic. And my name for her was Grandma No Legs.
Oh, no!
She had both of her legs amputated as a result of diabetes. And all I remember about her, she died when I was pretty young. But what I remember about her is she just had the craziest strong hands of anyone I'd ever met, because that's how she got around.
She snapped my forearm.
Grandma Iron Grip.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, diabetes. It's a very expensive hobby. So in the research that I was doing, just to put some numbers on it, back in 1996, a vial of insulin cost about $20.
Ooh.
How many vials do you need? Like
several.
Well, like a vial will last...
given amount of time.
A vial will last you about a month.
Okay.
A month's supply of insulin was $20. I currently take two types of insulin, a short-acting and a long-acting. I can't remember which, but without insurance, one of them is about $300, and the Ooh. Other one is about $350 for a month's supply of insulin.
You really need to kick this insulin habit that you have.
I know.
He's just shooting up every day. He's like, I feel like normal.
I feel like a normal person.
But a few years ago, when I was between jobs and moving, you know, from temporary job to temporary job, and I didn't have insurance, I was making, you know, when I had a job, roughly $1,400 a month. And
Same
so
here.
I had $300 of one insulin, $350 of another. Then there were the test strips, which was about another $100 a month. And then I had to go to the doctor to get my prescriptions. And if you average that out, that was roughly, I don't know, maybe call it another $50 a month. So I had about $800 just as a baseline for diabetes. Right. Yeah. And so that was literally 60% of my income was just going so I could not die.
Sean, you're making me into Johnny Sad Boy.
Yeah. So, yeah, every time I didn't have insurance and I would go to the pharmacist to get insulin, they would ring me up and say, you don't have insurance? And I'd say, no. They say, do you know how much this costs if you don't have insurance? I say, yes.
Yeah.
I am very, very aware of how much this costs. So the thing about all this is, since 1996, the technology behind insulin hasn't really changed all that much. So it's not like it costs more to make it. So really, it's just greed that took it from $20 a month to $300 a month. Yeah, that's just kind of the way things are.
Gross.
Yeah. But yeah, just to get some commonly asked questions out of the way that people often ask me when they find out I'm a diabetic. Yes, diabetics can eat sugar. Just like everyone else, they have to eat sugar or they'll die. It's just a matter of making sure you have the insulin to counteract the sugar. Eating a lot of sugar does not put you into a diabetic coma. Having too little sugar does. So yep. When people eat a cake by themselves and say, oh, I'm about to go into a diabetic coma, that always irks the local diabetic just a little bit. I do have to take shots every day. It's really not a big deal. I take on average 4 to 6 shots in a day. There's really no getting around that. If you're a type 2 diabetic, you're not taking insulin by pills. You're taking medicine that makes your insulin work better. So there is no oral insulin. So what else? Oh yeah. I also thought for a long time that type 1 diabetes you got when you were really young and type 2 diabetes you got when you were old. But turns out you can actually get either at any time, but you're much more likely to get type 2 diabetes when you're old and much more likely to get type 1 when you're young. I mean, really, there's worse things in life than a disease that makes you eat right. So it's not super debilitating, but there's just always that looming knowledge in the back of your mind that things could go horribly wrong. I go to the diabetic doctor every 6 months, but one of the things they do is they've got this little thing and it's just like a, I don't know, it's like a really thin plastic needle. It's just like sort of a pokey thing. And I take off my shoes and he has me close my eyes and he pokes my toes and the bottoms of my feet to make sure that my nerves are still working. Once a year, I have to go to the eye doctor to get my eyes very thoroughly examined to find out if I'm developing blindness due to my diabetes. And it's, and every time I go see my diabetic doctor, I have to get blood drawn, 2 or 3 vials every time. And that's just part of being a diabetic.
Also, I wasn't kidding. Our cat really does love the smell of insulin.
Oh, yeah. So that was the other thing. So I've been diabetic, you know, with my wife since before we were dating.
Diabetic with my wife.
Yeah. And so I think it's sort of a Pavlovian response between her and the cat, but insulin has a smell to it. And I take shots around them and they've sort of associated this smell with me. So they both really like that smell.
Oh, God. No, I understand that smell now.
Yeah.
My stepfather-in-law smells like you.
Do I smell like insulin?
Well, no, there's a, like, he's constantly taking insulin shots because he's, like I said, he has wild diabetes. He's gone to several doctors.
He's got that rabbit diabetes.
Like, he smells like sawdust and Sean.
It's sort of an endearing description.
That's my new perfume line.
Sawdust and Sean.
So it's time for What Are Your Morals Worth? So everybody gather around. I've got a nose plug here for each of you. Just go ahead and put those on.
All right.
And what's going to happen here is I'm going to open this door, and behind this door, you will find 10 vials. One of them is the urine of a diabetic. The rest are a combination of asparagus urine, truck stop urine, you know, that sort of thing.
Urines of many flavors.
If you can correctly identify the diabetic urine, I will give you an amount of money that we are about to discuss. So how much would I have to pay you to step into this room and try your luck?
Well, Sean, I was a janitor for several years.
Mm-hmm.
So
how many times did you have to drink pee?
No, he said smell.
No,
oh, smell.
That's why I gave you all nose plugs.
He said identify.
Okay. I mean, well, if you can tell by looking, then
it's
going
to go up substantially. $2 million to taste any pee.
$2 million?
To taste any pee!
What if you get lucky and you get the diabetic one the first time?
The diabetic one the first time. So, like, the sweetest urine. And then I go to Sean, I was like, hey, Sean, is that... He's like, no, that's truck stop.
This is the sweetest urine I've ever tasted.
Maybe you'll find your calling.
But you're now high on cocaine.
I don't want any pee. In my mouth. $2 million.
$2 million seems... high. Like, we were much lower being trapped in an elevator for, like, 2 days.
Yeah, but he's going to pay me any amount, and I have to taste pee. Pee down a line.
What if this is to save someone's life by diagnosing them as a diabetic?
Then you can give me $2 million, and I will pay for his insulin.
This used to be a profession.
That'll get you, like, yeah, what, right? 2, maybe 3 months of insulin?
I think 50,000.
50,000, huh?
Yeah. I mean... It's a myth
that
urine.
That's actually what I was going to say.
Sterile liquid.
I'm not going
to. It's pee. It can be dangerous. And I am worried about what sort of substances I'm going to encounter in the truck stop urine. So,
well,
I've got concerns.
No dangerous substances in any of them.
Yeah, I can ensure your safety. You're not going to catch anything from any of these samples.
You're tasting. Okay. You're tasting pee.
I understand that.
50,000. I'm.
It might make me a little sick, but I'm not going to...
Oh, I might barf a little between each sample.
Yeah, it's gross. I'm not denying that, but it's not going to hurt me.
I don't much pee.
I like not being the most expensive one for once.
Look, because Kelly already said 50, I'm going to undercut her to get the job. I'm going to say 45.
Yeah.
I'll do it for 40.
Okay. 35.
$3 million.
I really need this job.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you both, but I'm going to have to think about this for a second, but I don't think I'm even going to hit 4 digits.
$5.
You know, I was actually just watching a video online about cool new TVs that have just come out, and I was checking out prices of those, and I think I could get one for about $1,500. So I guess I will hit 4 digits, but $1,500? Yeah, I'll step up and drink that pee.
All right, you're not getting the job, Andy, so you don't even have to worry about the money that you're getting.
You're going to be so good on diaper duty, Sean.
Oh, yeah. It's
I don't want to pee.
Yeah, who cares? I'll live. I'll be fine.
I suppose you will, but you'll have drink in a trucker's pee.
But man, if that's not a pickup line, I don't know what is.
Yeah, some people pay to drink pee.
I know.
It's true. Some people would do it for free.
Only the finest vintage urine. All right, well, I think that's going to do it for this week. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today.
If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at acidpoppodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.